Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. Glad to have you aboard with us. Got a great message coming up for you. We're beginning tonight a five-part series on the serpent seed. We hope and trust that we can go back into the Bible and reveal the true purpose of Genesis chapter 3. We're going to start there tonight, and of course, we're going to work our way through in the five-part series into the New Testament, in the time that Christ made some startling revelations about the seed sower. Of course, that we'll find that in Matthew 13, and we'll eventually get over there. But tonight we're going to get into some word projects and try to formulate for you the physical connection of the serpent to the earth. Now, let me repeat that. We're going to try to correlate an understanding, a gestalt, if you will, a building, a foundation of how the physical connection was established in the earth for the seed of the serpent. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, that's just a spiritual mist floating around that causes you to commit adultery and tell lies and all these things. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's not what the Bible says. And so then, no matter what man has said, or tradition has brought forth, or man's carnal understanding. You see, where man gets in trouble, that he tries to inject without authorization. You see, it's just like plugging into an ATM machine, and if you don't have authorization, you're not going to get in to the money supply. Well, if you don't have authorization, qualification, in other words, called. Now, listen to what the Bible said. Many are called. Well, you can be called and still not be qualified to preach the gospel. You must be chosen out of the callings. Many are the callings, but few are the choosings. You see, the Father has restricted the inside, this is what we call inside traders information, for the truth to a selected few. Remember, he said, I will not reveal anything to the people except that I first reveal it to the prophets. Well, that eliminates a lot of these brain jackasses that are out here fiddling on their own, taking the word of Yahweh into their mouth, and spitting forth confusion and misunderstandings in their carnal concepts as they foolishly, ignorantly, like Balaam, try to bring forth a gospel following or to show themselves some great preacher or teacher of the understanding of the gospel. Did you know that 99% of the people today in the Christian Bell Bach Church believes that Eve ate an apple? That it was Adam's apple and Eve that ate an apple that got us in trouble? And that Almighty God got mad and disturbed with Adam and his offspring, and began the terrible descent into the lower regions of the carnal mind, if you will. You see, Satan was a tree of good and evil. Now, the word tree is a code word. I'm going to tell you before we get into the series of the serpent series that the word tree, when I talk about a tree, I don't want your carnal mind to jump out in your backyard and look at an apple tree or a pear tree, or in some cases with these brain jackasses, a persimmon tree. You know, they're disfigure their face. Christ warned us of these type of people that would disfigure their face and say these great things that they think that man would admire because of popularity. You see, I'm not running a popularity contest, and neither should you be, and you shouldn't even listen to one. If a preacher is just smoothing and tickling your ears and you're enjoying what he's saying, you're not getting the gospel. If that preacher that you're listening to makes it an enjoyable sermon to rouse up your flesh and your emotion and take you to levels of your emotional heights of exuberance, if you will, then this is the petting of the flesh, carnal. Oh, yes, you can get a thrill and a chill and a spill about anywhere you want to go in the billbox region of Eve, Eden, Apple. It is a polite, politically correct, religiously traditional concept hatched up out of the 33rd chapter of some man's imagination to bring forth these false doctrines to cover the real truth of what happened in Genesis chapter 3. Now, what happened, Pastor Buddy? Well, the word tree is symbolic. And if I was to ask you about your family tree, of course, you wouldn't run out into your orchard, if you had one, and look at the natural trees standing in your backyard. Well, when men and women come to the bell boxes and hear these pastors, teachers, prophets, oh, man, they're so sickening. No wonder I get perturbed at them, braying jackasses, as they speak great swelling words, having men's admiration in mind when they do. They've been PhD'd and CCD'd and DDD'd and well qualified to lead a congregation to hell. And Yahweh's people love to have it so. We love to have our ears tickled. We don't want something complicated. We don't want the gospel flame to get under our feet. Nobody wants to go into the fiery furnace of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and go through the fire with a fourth man walking. It's no pleasant journey. These men didn't have a picnic when they avowed that they would not serve the king, but they would honor their great God, Yahweh, and stay true to his word. Well, when you come in conflict with tradition, and you're preaching outside the door of these traditional churches, you're out in the street preaching and proclaiming the gospel truth, that when we talk about trees in the garden, we're not talking about a natural fruit tree that Eve plucked an apple off of them and become pregnant. Well, it's a miscarriage of justice, if you will. When she brought forth Cain, she brought forth a wicked one. Did that come from Adam? Did it come from Yahweh? Or did it come from Satan, the Nakash? Now, the word Satan is opposer. Devil is opposer. The Nakash is a metaphor, if you will, or a code word, again, to show you the subtleness of the snake or the charmer. That's what he was. He was a charmer. He was a Don Juan, a handsome dude. The Bible tells us in the 31st chapter of the book of Ezekiel and the 14th chapter of the book of Isaiah that he was the most beautiful of all the trees in the garden. Now, we're talking about angelic beings that had choices back then to stay loyal and not marry or to mate or to know women and stay true to the cause of Yahweh, because Yahweh made the angels above man and man a little lower than angels and told them with their interacting, told the angels, warned the angels, that they should not interact with human or mankind or Adam kind. And we have three kinds here that we're going to display and talk about and show you the difference between Adam kind and human kind and the Neshama kind, the breath of life people, and the beast of the field, and so on and so forth. We've got different flesh here. We've got different covenants to apply to the different applications, and the degrees that we present them in will be for your understanding, that you may know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now, the tree in the garden, let's examine the two trees that we need to discuss. There were more trees than one because of all the trees in the garden, like I said, one stood out. One was what we would describe as beautiful. And this Nakash, this serpent, this angel, this angelic being, second in command, he walked among the stones, the shining ones, the chosen ones. He was a high command angel in the hierarchy around the throne of God. This was Satan, the one we call Lucifer, or the devil. He was a mighty being. Now, the question right out the gate for your understanding, can angels impregnate a female woman? That's the question. Think about this now before we get out the gate here. Is it possible? I know that you've been indoctrinated against the theory that there were two seeds in the garden of impregnation from the garden. Remember now, the seeds came forth out of the garden, not in the garden. That's something for you to keep in mind. The word garden is another key word of interdimensional dimensions. I want you to understand that. The garden that Adam and Eve existed in was not this third dimensional level that we're now caught in as a veil of darkness is now separating us from the dimension that they were in originally and the dimension that we find ourselves in here, separated from the light of the world. We're seeking the exterior God, and that's exactly why Satan did what he did, to invoke the carnal mind and carnal concepts and carnal understanding, because he knew that it was impossible for the carnal mind to comprehend and find its way back to the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. This is amazing how deep we could go. But for the sake of those who have no knowledge at all what went on or transpired in the garden, we will keep it at a level. We won't go into the interdimensionals and get the complicated spiritual things, because if you don't understand the natural, there's no use for me to expound on the interdimensional spiritual things that could fast become so complicated to your carnal understanding that you may miss the whole point of the message here. Now, most people have never earned the right to understand spiritual things. Now, I say that reluctantly because I know that I'm indicting two-thirds of the house of Israel right here. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, and therefore, since you reject knowledge, I will reject you. Now, how do we go about retaining knowledge? We're ever learning. The Bible says that we are pursuants of truth. But truth has become so strange that truth is now fiction, and fiction is now truth. Good is now evil, and evil is now good. Everything has been reversed and turned out of that inner dimension where Cain and Abel were conceived in the womb of Eve. They were twins. Fraternal twins. That means they had the same mother, but two different fathers. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, now it was impossible. Let me show you scientifically that it is possible for, and I'll give you a black and white illustration here. Let's say a black man lays with a fertile woman, and she's a white woman. Let's say the man is black. We could reverse that, but in this case, we'll, for the analogies that we're going to use in this hypothetical situation, we will address this black and white issue here and say that, let's say, for instance, that Satan was a black man and Adam was a white man. In this case, we will excuse Adam, because I don't believe he's guilty of impregnating even a garden. Well, the Bible said, well, she gave to Adam, and he did eat also. We're going to examine the word eat also. We're going to look in. You see, a lot of times when we use these code Hebrew words, somebody comes along and tries to rearrange them to straighten the thought of tradition back out so that tradition will maintain its preeminence over our thought process. Just like in Revelations 5 and 5, we heard one of those braying jackasses try to straighten that out. Ladies and gentlemen, one thing for sure, somebody overcomes somebody there, and it happened to be the lamb that overcome the lion. We need to really cross our T's and dot our I's and get these facts straight before we come out of the gate praying like a jackass and can't finish the race. In other words, if you're going to build a foundation, you better make sure that you're on the right track. And you've got the right bull by the horn, because when you get in a rodeo ring, you're going to get in there with some professionals, and you might be plowing through the dirt sooner than you expect, because the Bible said God is not mocked. If you sow false doctrine, you're going to reap false doctrine. And it's going to come upon your head twice, pressed down and running over and out your nose and your nostrils, just like the Brayan Israelites were back when they lusted for the things of the world in the carnal mind, and God was trying to give them a spiritual understanding of the land of milk and honey. That land of milk and honey was not in that physical locale. The kingdom of heaven is not outside somewhere, ladies and gentlemen. It is in you. These metaphors and allegories, hypotheticals that we see in the Bible, they were all intended to give us a learning knowledge of not the kingdom without, but the kingdom within. And the birthright belongs to the kingdom, son. And if you don't understand that, you're going to be lost like a lost ball in the high weeds anyway to get out the gate. Let's go back here and get it right in Genesis and find out who fathered a lie, who brought a lie into being, who brought a corrupt seed. And remember now, the Bible says that the children of darkness are wiser than the children of light. It is the Antichrist children of darkness that have won the approval of the world as God's chosen people. And then we've got these Israelites, these dumb Israelites, trying to prop them up and keep it that way. And when a doctrine comes along that opposes Judah being the birthright son, then they start pecking around like a little chicken out in the barnyard, scratching for a worm that they can't find. Oh, yeah, they can muddy the pond up and confuse the issues. But, ladies and gentlemen, when all is said and done, it is the birthright son that will have the birthright, and that birthright will be to, for, and about the Messiah and the house of Jacob Israel. And every one of those sons will bow to this birthright son who was Messiah, Shiloh, that came and was called a Galilean Israelite, and was killed by those Canaanite Jews who are anti-Christ, who say they love God and hate Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, are we going to be so blind that the serpent has done his work well to pull the veil of darkness through the conception of a carnal mind of always striving about these words, that we can't jump these little narrow ditches of understanding to get into the framework of the spiritual constitution of a covenant-keeping ability of the house of Israel, who have become dumb, blind, ignorant, foolish, plucked up dead at the roots of their understanding, because the carnal mind has overpowered them as they are full of the carnal concepts that's been fed to them daily by a diet that is ordained by the corruptible ones and fed to the unsuspecting sheep, and they eat greedily and run in the air and perish in the gainsaying of Kor. Oh my God, have mercy upon our soul and give us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and that we will be in him, and the kingdom is within you, according to Luke 17, verse 20. If you're looking for any other kingdom, you're looking in vain. The conception of Adam through the work of the Spirit of Genesis 1:26 and Eve to come later was a combination of spirit beings in the inner dimension, and they thrived in what is known metaphorically, if you will, with a code word of a garden. This was not no literal garden of carnality. This was a place of an inner dimension of peace and holiness and eternal life. You will never have eternal life in the carnal flesh, because carnal flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of God with its understanding. That man is out. God cursed them, and upon his belly, back to the dust of the earth shall he crawl, in shame and humility, as God has completely humiliated the flesh man of the carnal senses that Satan imposed by the tree or the food thought process that came into the mind after Eve fell through her transgression. Adam was not deceived. He chose voluntarily to stay down here in this third dimensional level. He could have went back to the dimensional level of eternal life. But as a perfect type of staying with the church, just as Almighty Yahweh has stayed with his children through a covenant, and I'll swear, as long as there is a sun and a moon in the universe, I will remember the house of Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, the true facts of life are so astoundingly different in truth, as opposed to the things that we've learned in the bell box by these preachers and these praying jackasses, as they go forth for filthy lucre or for admiration of the popularity contest, as they breeze across compassing land and sea to make one proselyte. When they make him, they make him 2-4 more the child of hell than he was to begin with. And you say the truth is out there, and I enjoyed that sermon by that preacher on the television. Glory to God. I just had a tear well up in my eye thinking about mama and daddy. Carnal, worldly sorrow. Touch not, taste not, and handle not, for those that use the carnal concepts of the worldly sorrow understanding will perish with the using. Ladies and gentlemen, if you can't move up a notch or two, if you can't fast and pray, if you don't love your Creator enough to hunger and thirst for the hidden manna that's hid from the wise and prudent and revealed to the humble babes and servants who are now in the possession of the knowledge of the great God, Almighty Yahweh, and are preaching to a few. How blessed we are on our ministry of the Shepherd's Call to have men that'll stand up as men and put their money where their mouth is and keep this prophet. I don't have any money. I don't work for a living. I work for a kingdom cause to illuminate and bring the truth that has overshadowed our tradition and pull us out of the mire, hated in the garment spotted by the flesh man, because the flesh man has no concepts of understanding about the spirit things and those things that are laid up. And the Bible said, yea, the spirit searches the deep things of God. Are you able to search and come to an understanding about what happened in Genesis 3:14 and 15? I hope and pray that you are. I hope you're daring and bold enough to even want to know. I hope that my words do not offend you and turn you back. when Christ said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And many turned back at that carnal understanding. They didn't understand. He was talking about the body of his word, the living word, not the written word. The written word is fine if it's rightly divided. The written word is the worst thing with a carnal understanding. It will deceive you and send you to hell if you don't have the understanding of what the spiritual implications are, written at least 3 to 5 levels below the carnal understanding in those dimensional levels of thought. You see, underneath the word, there is exactly 7 levels of every verse in Scripture in the Bible. These were all given by inspiration, except those that were added to or misunderstood or misquoted. We got these brand jackasses that does more misquoting than they do quoting, because they have no understanding. They have a second or third level understanding about what the word says, and they think they get a little shiver up the spine and they run out and become a preacher. The Bible said that these preachers are like foxes on the desert. You can find them everywhere, anywhere, and nowhere in the truth. Let me repeat that. You can find them everywhere and anywhere in the lies that they are believing, and they practice at this lie until it becomes a habitable truth, because a lie once told often enough becomes a truth to the carnal mind that understands it. The spirit mind is different. It's hard to understand, except that you have broken through with fasting and praying and special calling and anointing. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Because to these other people, their eyes are blind, their ears are stopped up, but they're the first one in the church house. They're the first one on the altar. They pray longer, louder, and more intelligently than all of the others combined. But they think they're heard for their much speaking. I used to go to church as a little Baptist boy back in the church, and it sounded like to me a bunch of foxhounds getting out in a gang of dogs, and they would try to see which one could outpray or which one could say the most beautiful things in their prayers. And it was like an orchestrated kind event. Some of them would lay back, and they would, like old Luke, the old foxhound I used to have, he would lay back and let the others bark themselves out, and then when the trail really got hot, he would come on, and you could say, that's my old Luke. He's hot on the trail. Well, that's what these brain jackasses and these people that are deceived by these brain jackasses, they gather around the altars of Baal, worshiping they know not what, with a carnal concept and understanding, because many are there be that go thereon, and they take comfort in large groups and accept it as a truth, when in reality, it's the few that find the truth, not the many. Ladies and gentlemen, are we ever, forever, ever going to find out what really happened in Genesis 3, 14, and 15, and gather the information and go from there collectively into our spirit mind, and to know that it was not an apple that brought down mankind to the earth and left him without an eternal creator that hid himself from them after the fact, when Satan himself was a party to the crime and nobody wants to indict him? Isn't that just like Satan in a carnal mind, that the carnal-minded people can't blame Satan for anything? Who's your daddy? Have you ever heard that old song that now become popular, one of the country stars? Who's your daddy? Who's your mama? Did you know that Christ was a bridegroom? John chapter 3. Christ was noted as a bridegroom. He came for a bride. If he didn't get one the first resurrection, then you still haven't got a chance, because you couldn't be a child or an offspring of mommy and daddy. Who's your daddy? Well, Christ alluded in John 8:44 that those lying, deceiving scumbags, those Jews, that their father was a devil. These antichrists that we now hold up on a pedestal and support them, that they're God's chosen people, because God... ... Remember, I gave you the clue that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, beware of them. And yet, when people are quoting the scribe, they quote them as the authentic word of God. And God said, beware of them, when they misquote in Luke and Matthew, when they misquote the scriptures, we should really take Christ's advice and beware of them. You say, but it's the Holy Bible, and, well, I can read in the Bible that the devil is God. Does that make it true? No. He's a god of this world. And that's what most people in the carnal mind is hooked onto. They've got a god that has come up in the 23rd chapter of their imagination, and they were born this and born that, and they know it's right because mom and daddy died and went on to heaven. They know they're in heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what the judgment's for. When every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, and you will be judged out of those things that's written in the books as compared to the spiritual understanding that they were written in, not on the carnal concepts that you understood them in. For the carnal mind is not subject to the laws or the spirit or the word of God, and neither indeed can be. If you can't get beyond the third level of understanding from the top level of the surface of the scripture, if you can't dig deep and get on a solid foundation of thought process, you see, that's why Christ spoke in the top level of the scripture in a parable. You shall not eat of it. Is that the word? Genesis 3 and verse 3. Of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden. What was that tree in the midst of the garden? It was a tree of good and evil. Was it a fruit tree? Was there some type of fruit on it, as it alludes here? Or was it that possibly that this was Satan who had the information of good and evil, and he knew that the carnal mind, once planted in the mind of Yahweh's children, could become a battlefield because the carnal mind would oppose the spirit mind, because the spirit man is inward and the carnal mind is outward, and the carnal mind goes on what he can see, hear, touch, taste, and feel. And the Bible said, touch not, taste not, and handle not, for they that do so will perish with the using. And there again is the dilemma of a spiritual prophet or teacher or preacher that comes forth on the scene preaching spiritual things that the carnal-minded people that are in the listening audience cannot understand, and therefore they hurl stones at you like they did Christ.
Oh, well, I know my Redeemer was a Jew.
And here I've got $5,000 for anyone that can prove that Christ was a Jew, and yet these bellowing, braying jackasses keep on trying to scratch in the barnyard of their imagination and pull up the scripture that they can definitely put their finger on that Christ was a Jew, so that it would hold up and prop up the tree of traditional good and evil. Because it's so appealing to the carnal mind. I could preach that Jesus was a Jew, and I could be swinging off the rafters of all of these bailbox churches. They would welcome me in as they used to for 30 years. When I came to my senses, came to the reality, and dug deep and got on a solid foundation and proved all things by the Spirit, not the letter of the law, because it kills, but the Spirit makes alive. Unless you're willing to die out to the carnal mind and come into the spiritual realm of knowledge, you shall never obtain the fruit of the tree of righteousness. Now, who was that other tree in the garden that there's nowhere in the Bible that it says that she was not to eat of that tree? And yet she chose not to. Wonder why? That was the tree of life. She could eat of that tree and think what would have happened. Who was that tree of life?
It was probably a fig tree, Pastor Buddy. Them Jews, you know, they're God's chosen people. That was probably the fig tree.
Oh, my God. How in the world have we come to such levels of misunderstanding about the truth? Is it because that we have gathered around these prophets that prophesy lies in the name of the Creator? Not only would they lie about His name.
Oh, it's too sacred, Pastor Buddy, to ever mention. Just call it Hashem. Oh, Pastor Buddy, you need to become a Messianic Jew. Glory to God. That's what Jesus was. You see, he wasn't no Gentile. He was a Messianic Jew. And all his followers are Messianic Jews. They're a mess. Most of the followers of the Messianic doctrine are a mess. And they are the mess. They believe the lie and been damned in their corruptible thinking, wise in their own conceit. They've swallowed a lie and cast the truth to the ground. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle. Now, man, if that ain't something here, for this comparison chart, that Satan would be accursed above all cattle, does that mean he's going to be below the cattle? Does that mean that a cow has got a better chance of getting into heaven than this serpent? Well, I'll tell you this. When the ark was over in the land of the Philistines, and the two kine cattle that had sucking calves, when they were taken and hitched up to the wagon that contained the Ark of the Covenant, instead of coming back to the barn where the sucking calves were by their natural instinct, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they went a-trucking back to that big stone right there at Bethlehem, Ephratah, in the land of the northern tribe of the kingdom of Israel. Isn't it amazing that cows have got more sense and brute beast animals have got more sense and understanding than man? No wonder that this analogy is given. You're cursed above all the cattle and above every beast of the field. Man, that's getting down the low belly kind of the neshama, beast of the field. And God said, Satan, I curse you. Have you ever been cussed out? We call it cussed down here in the South. You ever get somebody down here in the South, a good old Southern redneck mad at you, he can come up with more curse words. He's worse than a peg-legged sailor. He knows more language than a peg-legged sailor about cussing. Well, that's what's happening here. Our mighty God, everlasting Father and Prince of Peace, who was the tree of righteousness, the tree of life, throwed a curse on this cat that Ajax won't wash off. I don't care how you glorify the beast and the power of Satan and the carnal mind, it will never enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's forever cursed. And upon its belly, this is a typical analogy of a metaphor of back to the dust of the carnal fleshy man. Once appointed unto a man to die, he goes back to the dust. That inward man that was bound in these flesh bodies, the flesh body is just a grave. Talk about a resurrection is when you get illuminated with the truth. That's when your spirit being is broken through the veil of the carnality of flesh and you become a new creature in Christ. That's what it's all talking about. And you have a new covenant. And if you believe in Him, then you'll never die after that. He is the resurrection. You're cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go. Now, what does that mean? We'll get back into that just in a moment. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Flesh and blood, the dust man. Exiled, forbidden to enter back from whence he could have gone to. You see, Adam and Eve became flesh and blood creatures.
into the third dimension after they were turned out of the garden. You see, man was meant to live forever, but after the transgression, there was a flaming sword, and you need to know what that dimensional sword is. Some people are trying to find that sword sticking in a rock somewhere, the Excalibur, and things of this nature, the legends and the lunacy of people with their carnal mind and understanding, the Holy Grail. We've got people now believing that Christ faked his own death on a resurrection tree and escaped the resurrection and went off to India and had little Indians. My God, what's the world coming to with a thought and understanding how foolish and corrupt? Christ didn't raise, you're still in your sins, and you don't have a covenant anywhere that will guarantee you eternal life. You say, well, holy blood, holy grail, I'm one of Christ's descendants. You act like it. You're ignorant and unlearned. You don't have a bit of spirit understanding about your mind, and you claim to be one of Christ's chosen. The Bible said you'll know him by his fruits. That's what happened right here in Genesis 15. I will put enmity. This is a struggling warfare, ladies and gentlemen. Carnal mind against flesh man. You see, the carnal mind has got power over the flesh man. He will not let the flesh man return back to the inner garden sanctum that God Almighty had prepared for those that love and serve him. There had to be a redemptive blood covering for the sin of this woman that had an encounter with a physical being and brought forth an illicit seed that became a cursed item into the earth. I'll put it between you and the woman. Between who? You. You see, if we would rub out thee here, I'll put it between thee and the woman. Who's thee? I mean, why didn't the translator just put in, I'll put enmity between Satan and Eve. Now, Satan, remember, is the word Satan is opposer. So every time that you have a good thought, a bad thought will jump up, and 9 times out of 10, if you're not really in control of your flesh, man, the bad thought will win out. The Bible said, by your thoughts you're justified, and by your thoughts you're condemned. You either make the tree good and the fruit good, or the tree corrupt and the fruit corrupt. A corrupt tree, listen to me now, here's the key, a corrupt tree cannot bring forth good seed. A good tree cannot bring forth corrupt seed. And we'll expound on that in to part 3 and 4 of the 5-part series. Now, if you'd like to have this series, I'd like to encourage you to order this series on the serpent seed. You will be blessed, and hopefully there will be some type of reconciliation with the spirit man within you. If you belong to Christ in a covenant, and you're the right type of person, and we'll get into what type of person you must be to inherit the kingdom. You see, God did not love everything on the earth. Didn't say he did. We say the Bible said God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Well, that scripture can be in question in the original text because it is written. Now, of course, we'll have these quote-unquote Greek experts come along and try to change what we're going to say here. But in the Greek of Luke 23, verse 34, where it says in the English, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The Greek says, Father, forgive them not, for they know what they do. Now, we're waiting on those quote-unquote experts to take us to school on that. Ladies and gentlemen, if God loved the world and commanded you not to love it, then he'd love something he told you not to love, and so then you'd be out of love with the things that he loved, and you wouldn't be in sync with him, and everything would have to be in order for you to be in order with Yahweh. If the Bible said he loved everything in the world, you'd have to love everything in the world too. But the Bible said, love not the world, neither the things of the world, for he that loveth the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So the Father must not be in the love of the world. And so John 3:16 could be found suspect, if you've got enough spiritual understanding to know what I'm talking about. Again, in John 8:44, you need to read the text. There is an evil tree here that Christ is alluding to, and there are seed that come forth right out of Genesis 3:15, and there are physical, real seed standing there in flesh and blood bodies, but the very embodiment of Satan and his genetic bloodline in the earth. My heaven, now we'll really get cards and letters from people I don't even know. Well, just send them on down to 2284 New Tazewell, and we'll deal with them as they come in. I'll put enmity between you and a woman. I'm fighting a good fight of faith tonight. If you've got the real truth and tree and seed in you from the good tree, you'll understand what I'm talking about. Praise y'all. If you'll not, you just go home, go along with these babbling idiots that love the world and miscegenate and hook up like a bunch of snakes. No wonder we got so many snake species. They all ball up and wad up together. I'll put enmity between you and the woman, between Satan and the woman, and between your seed, Satan. Now, again, the translators, between Satan's seed. Oh, Pastor Betty, Satan ain't got no seed here, a literal seed on earth. Now, you know that was a spiritual metaphor. He was talking about the carnal mind here and blah, 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 blah. We heard it. We heard it. If, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. If the single seed line doctrine is correct, then I'm the biggest idiot that ever tried to preach the gospel. But if the two seed line doctrine is correct, then all these others that deny it are in for a rude awakening. The Father's prepared a place for Satan and his seed, and all of those trees that should have been good that have been deceived or compromised for filthy lucre or for a crowd or for other selfish carnal purposes to numerous dimension at this time are just get plumb kicked off and really let this thing go. But I'm restricted because I'm on national worldwide radio and I must refrain myself from speaking such rude, plain speech, which could be very easily understood. But I know that the people of God, the people of Yah, those who have the armor fully dressed, and what makes me so mad is these half-dressed idiot braying jackasses that don't have on enough of the spiritual understanding of the armor of the helmet to even know where they're from, let alone anybody else. They don't have any understanding of what happened here in Genesis 3:15. I'll put enmity between your seed, Satan, and her seed. Now, this is opposition. Testing of the blood of Satan into the earth in a body of flesh called Cain. No wonder he didn't want us to mix with the Canaanites. Oh, you say, I don't know of any. That's just a little spirit thought running around out here. There's no physical Cainites out here, Pastor Buddy. Glory to God. Shunda. Hallelujah. Whew. No wonder this earth is so corrupt and deceived, going to hell in a handbasket, and wouldn't stop to get direction to heaven if you were there to give it to them, because they want to keep their tradition, and full well, they fill up the portals of hell, which has enlarged her mouth to swallow up the dead who have no understanding of spiritual concepts of the Word of God. You say, Pastor Buddy, you always have to get ticked off before you can preach. No, I'm a gentle, kind, loving man. I won't even kill a bird. I don't shoot anything. But when I get in the gospel, I get so bold, and the power of Almighty God comes upon me that I have to grip the stand which I minister behind till my knuckles turn white from keeping the going out into that literal audience and taking a baseball bat and trying to beat the truth into the hard-headed, stubborn, ignorant, foolish, corruptible, carnal minds of the Israelites, who have eyes to see and can't, and ears to hear and they can't hear. Dumb sheep, led away with the error of the wicked. Oh, my. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in a battle for survival, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. As it is in this time, we are in those days now. Prepare to meet God. He's coming back in flame and fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and will not obey the truth of the gospel, calling an ace, and a spade, and a Jew, a Jew. Those antichrist evil beast who claim to be out of the house of Israel and are not, but are liars because they are mixed with the blood of Abraham through the house of Judah. And you tell me that Christ came through that bloodline and denied the birthright son his privilege of having a birthright, and that the son was to come out of, don't you know what the spiritual consequences are in the Levitical priesthood teaching? Overshadowing was the Melchizedek order. There's nothing written or about at the altar, and there was no keeping of the eternal blood covenant of someone coming to rectify the sins, because the blood of a goat or a bull certainly could not do it. And if it was left up to the house of Judah to rectify your sins with an offering of a goat or a bull, that would be impossible. It would have to be to the birthright son that have the law on his side to redeem you. How foolish can you be? How ignorant and unlearned? Do you think that your stupidity and your ignorance will excuse you in the day of judgment when you bow the knee and have to give an account for every idle word that you speak, and your misunderstanding is void of understanding of the true spirit of God? The word eat. Let's look at the word eat here. Well, Pastor Buddy, you know, she looked up on that tree and there was something growing up there. Glory to God. I've had them. Man, I tell you what, I've had all kinds of encounters with people that have tried to throw their carnal mind as a scotch block out in the rolling of the monster truck of truth that drives down the narrow highway. And I'm telling you, it will grind you to powder if it comes over you. Let's get into truth, ladies and gentlemen. All you Bible searchers, all you studiers of truth, and you, there's many, because you write me and you tell me, Pastor Buddy, we've never heard anybody preach with boldness like you do. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just an old Tennessee country plowboy, and I about got my race run, and I might as well bring it on. The truth will stand when the world's on fire, and it'll be the truth of the fire of the Word of God that'll protect you in the fire that He comes in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that obey not the truth, who have a part of the truth or some of the truth, but not all of the truth. You got to have it all. You can't have a part of it, because even that part that you'll have will be taken away from you in the day of judgment, and you'll hear Him say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Oh, but Jesus, glory to God, haven't we done many wonderful works in your name? And the Father will say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. You want to hear Him say that? Well, my time is coming down, and my heavens, here I am. Praise Yahweh. End of part one. Part two coming up next Sunday night at 8:00 on the Shepherd's Call. You be tuning in. We'll be back. If you'd like to have this message in its entirety, write Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. Now, let me give you my phone number. Call me tonight. I'd like to talk to you. I'm all stirred up. I need somebody to rebel rouse with and to pledge allegiance to Yahweh and say the tell a devil to go to hell. Get under our feet. Praise Yahweh. Truth. That's what we need. Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. telephone me at area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. Now, my address quickly again. Pastor Buddy, that's all you need. Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell. That's N-E-W, New, N-E-W, T-A-Z-E, W-E-L-L, Tennessee, the zip, 37824. Now, if you'd like to call Dr. Gary, my sponsor here tonight for the Shepherd's Call, great man of truth, 1-877-289-7439. Dr. Jack, 1-888-281-7320. Pledge to support our radio message. We need more of our time. We're planning now to go on the internet, and we hope we can get on there soon. And you can listen to us, perhaps more of the message, and we can preach more of the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, we have this entire set of the Serpent Seed series. If you'd like to have it, just write, and we will send it to you when it's concluded. If you'd like to have the present one, we've had other messages that we've done in the past on this series. If you'd like to have it, we'll send it to you. Praise Yahweh. So write us and call us. This is Pastor Buddy, the Shepherd's Call. Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. My telephone number again, before I go, area code 423-626-2172. I'll see you next Sunday night on the Shepherd's Call, Yahweh willing, with part two. You don't want to miss it. Of the Serpent Seed series. Yahweh bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Shepherd's Call live on Truth Radio. We hope you'll join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this same station. Praise Yahweh.